This is where all the threads of human life, the souls that incarnate, are connected. It illustrates perfectly how each life is interwoven, crossing and touching all these other lives until eventually all of humanity is affected. The absolute oneness of humanity is represented by the tapestry. It is one but composed of all these many parts. Each cannot exist without the other, and they all intertwine and influence each other. D. Well, if it's composed of everyone's life, then it would be alive. Does the God care if we look at it? J. Oh, he doesn't care. He knows that we have a purpose. He says, go ahead, please look at it, but don't look any deeper. I don't want you looking at other people's lives, because spreading that knowledge can be detrimental to their development. John went back to the description. The tapestry is huge. It seems to be about, oh, I would say at least 20 to 25 feet tall. And it seems to go on forever. It would take me hours just to walk the length of it. It must go on for a mile or more. It runs along the left-hand wall, and the light coming in from the windows shines on it. But there's a point that I cannot go beyond. D. Do you know why? J. The guardian of the tapestry says that is part of the spiritual evolvement of all souls. Only spiritually evolved people have access to that part of the tapestry. It's like a little sign that says, do not go beyond this point. Laugh. But it's not so much a sign as a feeling that this is as far as I can walk. It's like looking at the most beautiful creation of art. It's made up of strands that range from a tiny piece of string all the way up to cable size, as thick as your wrist. D. I had pictured them as threads. J. No, they're not as small as threads. I called them that because they're interwoven, but it goes from a tiny string in some places to larger sizes. Most of them are kind of rope size, and then they get thicker and thicker as they go along. Conversations with a spirit: there are greens, blues, reds, yellows, oranges and blacks. Yeah, there are even a few black ones in there. The black ones stand out because they don't seem to go as far as the other colors do. That's strange. D. Do these colors have any significance? J. I'll ask the guardian. He says, yes, they represent the spiritual energy of all souls. D. Well, what would be the significance of the darker colors as opposed to the brighter ones? J. The darker colors, he says, really have no significance. The black are special, for they have chosen a very unusual path. D. I thought the darker colors might mean they were more. Well, I'm thinking of negative lives. J. No. He says there is no negativity in this tapestry. The black ones have just chosen an unusual way of manifesting. But he says, do not question that. That's not for you to know at this moment. You have come here for another purpose. D. Yes. I wanted to ask a few questions. You said there are teachers teaching their pupils about this tapestry. Is there a way they can look at the pattern of their past lives? J. Yes. I'm looking at one group right now. The teacher is dressed in nice robes, and he has a very benevolent look on his face. He is pointing out to different souls what is happening and what has happened. He's teaching them about this tapestry and what the different intricacies of the patterns mean. He has something like a shimmery pointer. It's golden colored with something at the tip of it that looks like a crystal, but it's actually a diamond that lights up with its own light. He points to a thread in the tapestry, and that thread, cable, rope or whatever you want to call it, will seem to light up on its own. He points out different characteristics about lifetimes, about how people have evolved and where they have to grow. They're all taking notes, not so much with pen and paper but with their own heads. D. Is he explaining to these pupils about their own lives so they can make decisions in future lives? J. Yeah. I get the impression they're there to study their past lifetimes and how their thread has woven itself into this tapestry of life. This is what the ancients call the Akashic, the Grand Torah records. I was surprised. These are the Akashic records that advanced souls understand. He says some of the records are kept in book form, but those are for souls who are not as highly advanced. D. I didn't understand. Then everyone wouldn't have a thread in this tapestry. J. No, All life has a thread in this tapestry, but only advanced souls are able to understand the concept of the tapestry, and to have access to it. Lesser developed souls have Akashic record books they can look through. It would be like a child going into a college library. They should go to the children's section of a local library instead. D. Then they wouldn't understand what they were seeing even if they came here. J. Right. They wouldn't understand this because the tapestry has a purpose. It goes into the higher dimensions. Even above here, and this is a very complex place. This tapestry of Vendor Ally ends in Godhood where it's all brightness. It all leads to this beautiful light. D. Can you ask the Guardian if many people who are alive ever come to see this tapestry? Or is it unusual for us to be here? J. He says you'd be surprised at how many people have come to this room who are still in the body. Many come to view it as a work of art. He says this has sometimes been an inspiration for artists who are skilled in painting, sculpture and the textile arts. They sometimes come here because this is one of the most glorious works of art in all creation. It has many different designs, such as wild contemporary patterns, oriental designs or Native American arrangements. D. How do they get there? J. He says some come in the astral state when they dream. Others come while they are traveling within the soul worlds when they use meditation, astral projection or hypnosis like you are using now. D. I wondered if it was unusual to come while you are still in the body. J. He says, no, not as unusual as you might think. You'd be surprised at the numbers that do come here, but not all of humanity is ready to come to this place just yet. D. Can he tell we aren't dead? Conversations with a spirit. J. Yes, he's walking along with me and he says he knows I am still in the body. He sees the silver thread that lies behind me. D. Oh, he knows you're still connected to a body. And that we are doing this as a kind of experiment. J. Yes. He understands that. Most of the other people don't have silver threads coming out of their bodies. D. Well, has anyone who came here while still in the body ever been refused entry into that room? J. He said, you'd be surprised. We have had to ask people to leave this area. One soul came and tried to tear his thread out of the tapestry. He thought this would be the best way to end his existence. The man was suffering from some type of dementia in the earth plane, and he didn't realize he was really in the spiritual plane. He was very confused. We had to guide him back. He is now in an institution and being heavily sedated so he doesn't go into these trance states that he was able to do so easily. But he came to try to destroy the tapestry, or to destroy what he thought was his thread. In actuality, it wasn't even his thread. D. But there aren't many people who try to do things like that, are there? J. No, that was a very rare case. That man was given great spiritual strength in his physical incarnation, but he thought it was delusion and that has left him unbalanced in the mental body. As a result, he is being physically restrained as well as being given chemicals to keep him from astral traveling. He would have been a great world server if he had allowed himself to find his pattern, but he allowed his intellectual side of his nature to gain too much on him. D. I suppose that's one reason why they have a guardian there. J. Well, you have to have a guardian. Sometimes strange things happen here because this is a portrait of time, and things have to be kept in balance. There are checks and balances along this tapestry. D. You said sometimes there are other people that are asked to leave? Do they try to see things they shouldn't or what? J. He says, you can see things, because behind the tapestry is your sense of time and you can find a cord and go through time. Most people do not need to know about their future while they are still in the body, unless they are going to use the grand tour of the knowledge for a spiritual course. D. Are these the type of people who are asked to leave? J. He says, no, this is the place of love and no one is ever asked to leave here unless he tries to deface the tapestry or is abusive. We just have to watch the tapestry, because sometimes in rare cases things do happen. In the past great forces have come through the tapestry itself. One time you had nuclear explosions and there were many people leaving the planet so quickly they came through the tapestry. So we have to be here to be of service to them. D, I guess all kinds of strange things happened there. I appreciate you telling me these things. We were curious. J, yes, he says, that's understandable. Do not worry. We are well aware of your mission and your soul's growth. I am here to be of service to all of you. D, we're trying to use this information in a very positive way if we can. Would I be allowed to come if was going to use it in a negative way? J, no. Nothing can be disguised or hidden here. We know your motives better than you know them yourself. D, I try very hard to be positive. Is there anything else you would like to see in that tapestry before we leave it? J, I see my own thread now. It's silver and copper in color, as it weaves through the tapestry. The guardian of the tapestry is saying it's time for me to leave. He says, you don't need this knowledge. In time you can look, but not at this present time. Pause, he's discussing my soul's growth. And he's sort of calling me for task on it. John laughed, he says I was such a ray of light, and I had allowed myself to grow dim. That's why I had to go back to the Earth School. D, so you can make amends? J, well, by understanding universal laws and love, I could gain my light back. It's easier to go through the Earth School than to incarnate on other dimensions. It's quicker. D, how do you feel about him telling you that? J, well, I don't like it. I'm embarrassed, actually. I feel very chastised. I mean, he's perfectly right that it's my fault. I've sidestepped my responsibility, so I had to incarnate. But it's not like he's pointing his finger and saying, no, 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 no. He's doing it lovingly. He's embraced me now, and he conversations with a spirit says, good luck on your mission. I could not resist the temptation, so I asked, I wonder if my thread's in there anywhere. J, yes, your thread's there. Your thread is a bright shiny copper color that gets stronger. It starts out kind of small and then it gets bigger and bigger, influencing many other threads. This tapestry is very magical. Abruptly, he's asking us to leave. You are looking at your own life, and that's not good to do at this point. D, no. But that's just human curiosity. J, but now he is showing me the steps. Laugh, and he's saying, why don't you take a walk down there and see what's there? D, like we shouldn't get too nosy, I suppose. J, yes. He's saying, you've had enough to look at for now. I think the guardian of the tapestry was implying that we shouldn't look too much into our own future. D, that makes sense. Because if we knew what's going to happen to us, would we still do the things we were planning to do? Okay, then do you think we should leave there? J, yes. I'm walking down the staircase from the tapestry room now. I'm inside the Temple of Wisdom, walking down the hall. It looks as if there are precious stones in the walls, like emeralds, rubies, peridot and crystal. It's so beautiful. It's very radiant and very hallowed. You feel. It's a very hushed feeling. Ahead of me is the library. I'm walking into it now. It looks as if precious stones are on all the mantles and doors, and they shine with their own light. I'm in a huge study. There are books and scrolls on everything, and all types of manuscripts on the shelves. There is a beautiful light streaming in, illuminating the whole place. It's made of gold, silver and precious stones, but they all reflect light so you can read. The whole building seems to be made of this wondrous material. This library in the spirit realm was not a strange place for me. I have journeyed there many times with the aid of my subjects. Several have mentioned it and their descriptions vary only the grand tour slightly. The guardian of the library has always been eager to help me in my quest for knowledge, and I have used our access to this place to gain information about many various topics. D, this is one of my favorite places. I like any place that has books and manuscripts. Are there other people there? J, oh, there are people in the other part. It's a big area, almost cathedral size. There's a man there has a spirit, and he is just luminous. He's talking about preparing for the Earth School, and there are only a few people listening to him right now. Other people are in groups or walking around silently carrying manuscripts and books to different places. It's the air of. He had difficulty finding the word, like scholars. They're studying. Everybody has a sense of purpose, and there's a sense of serenity. There's music that seems to fill the whole place. It's just barely audible, but it tinkles. It's pretty music. D. It sounds like a very beautiful place. J. Yeah, it's really nice. Everything glimmers and everybody is in beautiful robes. The clothing looks as if it's transparent, but electric colors shine through them. They're the people's auras. D. Is there anyone in charge? How do you find anything? J. Yes, there is a spirit guide who is the guardian of the library. He is at a desk there and he is writing at the present time. And I am asked, what is your request? D. Is he very busy at this moment? J. Oh, no. He says, no, 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 no. This is wonderful. To be of service is very important. D. All right. Can he look up information for us? J. He says there are some restrictions. D. Can he tell us what they are? I like to know when I'm breaking any rules. J. He says, it's not good to delve too much into your personal futures. That is a no-no ruling. That's not good, it causes disharmony. D. All right. We're not going to do that. Are there any other restrictions? J. He says that's the main restriction. D. Are people that are still in the physical allowed to come to the library? Conversations with a spirit. J. He says, yes, they come through their astral travels, their dreams. Actually, dreaming is astral traveling. They come, and not all the time are they aware of what they're doing, because it's kind of like a little bit of a fog for them. It's rather rare that we have people who are incarnated that seek us. There are a few, but not many. He is showing me around. There's the library with the huge rotunda where people are gathered in groups and studying and discussing issues. They are able to go into viewing rooms around the perimeter of this room to view things if they wish. All knowledge is stored in these, but it's not like a computer. People don't need computers here. Information is just relayed by intelligent thought. And he says we could go into the scriptorium. This is where things are read. This is where people that can relate to writing and reading like to go. It's part of the library complex. D. The scriptorium is a different part in the library? J. Yes. It's for people that are not very advanced souls. They're medium advanced souls that still need the written word to make sense to their consciousness. D. They wouldn't understand the viewing rooms? J. Well, they would understand them. But this is how they choose to learn, by reading from the book. D. In that case, they can take the books and sit there and read them, and also write. J. Write. Write in them too. Some of them do. D. Is that allowed? Wouldn't that be changing them? J. He says, yes, it's allowed. Anything for the soul's growth is allowed. That's why sometimes you see children born with horribly disfiguring diseases. Everything's allowed. It's all for the same purpose of reaching spiritual perfection. D. But I thought they weren't allowed to write in these books because they were eternal records and shouldn't be defaced or changed. J. The tapestry is the eternal thing. That's the only thing that's not touchable. But, he says, whatever is necessary for a soul's growth is allowed. For some people it's books. But for most advanced souls it's just information. D. Then those are the ones that can absorb the knowledge better in the viewing room? The Grand Tour. J. Yes. D. I was wondering if there were any restrictions about who could come to the library. J. There are no restrictions, this is true, but low-level energy souls find it very hard to step into this realm. They feel frightened or afraid of this area, and thus, he says, they do not seek to come here. D. I wonder why it would frighten them. J. They still carry most of the negative qualities of their former existences. Greed, jealousy, lust, things that lower one's vibrations. So as a result they stay mostly down on what he calls the lower astral world. They really have difficulty entering this area, they're kind of rebelled. D. It doesn't sound like they would be looking for knowledge anyway. J. He says, well, we are here to be of service for them. In fact, we have branch libraries down among the lower astral world. and it takes a really great spiritual entity to man these stations. But they hardly ever get used. These lower entities are still sealing out experiences in a physical form. This is why they hang out in places that are degenerative or degrading to man's soul. D. I was curious about why we were allowed to come into this place. J. Your soul's sense of purpose is manifested. D. So they know the reasons why we are looking for information. J. Oh, they understand. Just by allowing yourself to enter a circle of white light, we know you are of the higher astral. And we can read your motives behind what you are seeking. Nothing can be hidden. D. Would we be allowed to look at some of this information? J. He said you can go into the viewer. D. Where is that? J. He's taking me into this other room. D. Okay. I am interested in these different planes of existence. I thought it might be easier if you could see these things in the viewing room, instead of actually going to the different planes. That might be uncomfortable for you to try that. But if the guardian could give you information about them or show them to you, it would be easier. Would he be able to do that? Conversations with a spirit. J. Yes. He says the astral world is divided into three parts, the lower, middle and upper astral planes. D. First of all, I am curious about the lower planes, so let's start there. Can he tell us what they are like and what type of people or spirits are there? J. Yes. We've walked into the viewing room and he's showing me. He says, just call attention to whatever you wish to see and all kinds of images will come in. They're on the walls. D. Is it like a screen on one wall or what? J. Not really like a screen. It surrounds you. I'm in the middle of it watching it. And he says that the lower astral is just terrible. He says, we pray for these lower entities, but it's as if they are tied to Earth. They're not in human form but they're still on the Earth. And they are like, oh, a sound of disgust, this is gross. D. What do you see? J. Well, I just saw someone get shot. Uncomfortably, and there's a whole group of spirits watching that and shouting, oh, isn't that great? Look at those blood and guts. D. You mean they were watching a physical person get shot? J. They're watching two people. A black man and another black man had a shootout with each other over a drug deal. And there's like, oh, about 1,000 spirits watching this. It's almost like, oh, there goes another one. Where are we going to go next? Oh, look at this girl. She's getting raped. Let's watch that. They're witnessing all this brutality. And the guardian tells me, they have to watch this to see how they've lived their own lives. They've lived like this, in a very degenerate way. And he says these spirits have to learn from this. D. Do you mean that after they died they just stayed around these areas or what? J. No, they were forced. They couldn't go any higher. You see, their vibrational rate, spiritually, is very low. They're a dense vibration and they can't go any higher up, so they have to watch the physical world. They interact with this world. D. I was thinking that sounds something like our version of hell. J. It is a version. It is a hell. Because until they learn how to reincarnate and become more spiritually advanced, some the grand tour D, J, D, J, D, J, times they repeat similar situations over and over again. And he says some of them are almost beastly. That's the word he used, beastly. I've always thought that there was no such actual place as hell. It's a hell for them, yes. Because if they use drugs or alcohol to excess, or let their lust drive rule them, it still controls them. They still have that desire after they pass over. But they cannot manifest it. That's why it's so important before you leave the planet to not have any of these, what are called vices, because you carry them with you into the next realm. He says, for instance, we've got people here that want a cigarette, but they can't smoke because we don't have cigarettes over here. So they'll spend time hanging around with physical people that want to smoke. Or we have spirits who have done drugs, who want to shoot up and have made that a pattern in their lives. They will be around people who are shooting up. You mean they try to get the same sensations by osmosis or something like that? Yes, they try to. That's why they hang around them. People who have let their lust drive them in life will be around places where lots of lust is taking place in the human form, like the houses of prostitution and things of this type. He says these are the lower denizens of the astral. It sounds like a vicious circle, like they aren't going anywhere. How can they get out of that plane? He says this is why it is necessary for people to pray for their loved ones, because that will help them to see the light. It is like their own personal hell that they live in. But, he says, when they sense that they've had enough of this, guardian spirits come to them. After they have learned to say, for instance, "I'm tired of looking at all these people doing this stuff that I can't do," then the guardians come and conduct them and start showing them ways that they can make a transformation for themselves. But he says, when it's time for them to reincarnate again, we do process them. He says they all go to the computer room, which is an area where they can be re-evaluated. The computer room sets them up and matches the time when an incarnation is going to be taking conversations with the spirit place and what type of lessons that incarnation will teach. They are shown how they can use that lifetime quickly. But he says, this is all going to be changing very shortly, because the Earth is going to be too highly evolved for these spirits. So we're going to be shipping these souls out to a. John laughed suddenly. "You know, it's like, okay, you had your chance here. Next boat is going to Archeres." Humorously, "It's kind of funny actually." This spirit guide had a good sense of humor. Laugh, he's jovial, he's a little rotund, and he's saying, "Yup. You had your chances here. Now we have to ship you out to those other planets that are over near Archeres." D. Are those planets that will have negativity on them? J. Yes, he says, those are still evolving planets. But these spirits won't come back here, because this planet Earth is changing. These spirits we are watching are the low, dense vibrational souls. He says, now, the higher vibrational souls are different. When they cross over, they usually head for the Temple of Wisdom and Knowledge, because they've been there before. This could be where the schools are located. D. They bypass all of that negativity. J. And he says, then there are the mid-level souls. They like to manifest themselves in happy situations with their families that have crossed over. There are houses and lake resorts and boats for them. D. Similar to their lifestyle on Earth, you mean? J. There are all different types of houses built up along one of the banks of the lake. On one of the steep hillsides there are all beautiful houses. This is where people live if they choose to, especially people that have a hard time adjusting to the astral world. They'll spend much time here. D. Do you mean they want to live in a house that's familiar to them? J. Right. They can live in a house that was like their house that they knew in the physical. D. Do these houses contain furniture and other people and things like that? J. It contains other people, and they manifest whatever they want. So if they want furniture in the Art Deco period, they the Grand Tour have furniture in the Art Deco period. If they want furniture that's rattan, they have rattan furniture. If they want King Louis XIV, they can have King Louis XIV. Whatever style they want, they can have it. Laugh, you see, these people aren't highly advanced souls. They're just there waiting for their next lifetime. It seems as if only the highly advanced souls are in the libraries and the other different areas of the complex. These other souls are still Earth associated. D. Maybe that's all they can comprehend. J. That's very true. You've got a good point there. D. Maybe they think that's all that can exist on that side. J. They are usually among people that think the same way. The guardian of the library is saying, as the old saying goes, birds of a feather will flock together. Remember that. That's the saying that your world uses. People that are high entities and high energy will be drawn together, just like people who are lower energies have lower entities drawn to them. The people of this level want to retain their familiar lifestyle, but they use this to clear up things with themselves. This is why much family karma takes place during later incarnations, because they have had strong attachments over at this mid-level. There's a low astral, mid-astral, and upper astral. And the mid-astral are these types. It's kind of like suburban America. There are nice houses and people are basically talking with their friends and their relatives and they're having good old memories. Sometimes spirit guides come into a house and talk to them and tell them they should start preparing for their next lifetimes. And they say, well, we just want to enjoy our families a little bit longer. Do we have time?